What is up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Canucks game day against the Edmonton Oilers. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host, he's Thomas Drance. He covers the team for The Athletic as well. We're coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors. Rent a Warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. What's going on, Drance?
Another Canucks game day.
Woo!
Oh, my God, man. This one's tough. Like, this season is wearing on me more than usual, to be honest with you. I don't know if you feel this way. Let us know in the 650 inbox if you feel this way. But I'm just thinking about tonight, and it's like, if they lose, it doesn't mean that much to me because, of course, they're losing. There's so much going on. There's so many distractions. The chemistry's off, blah, blah, blah. If they win, it also doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Because I still don't feel like they're going to get on some sort of run that earns them, you know what I mean? Like the heroic, what if they get it together? First of all, usually you get like 40% of the fan base advocating for some optimistic take that makes no sense.
Yeah.
I don't even feel like we're there. No one's really buying that. So no. It's just like, what does it matter tonight?
Yeah, it's a bizarre one. And to your question about, is the season wearing on people? Sure seems like it's wearing on the coach and the players.
No kidding.
It really seems like it's wearing on them. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN at 1 o'clock. Always a pleasure to chat with Wish, get his thoughts on the Canucks and Oilers rematch, and of course the JT Miller stuff happening as well. And we'll have lots of time to look at tonight's game, dig into the latest batch of rumors, hear from Rick Tocchet throughout the course of the show. But right now,
from Rick Tocchet.
Yeah.
The latest batch of rumors from Rick Tocchet.
No. I said hear from Rick Tocchet.
Oh, okay.
Dig into the latest batch of rumors, comma, and hear from Rick Tocchet.
Understood. I thought you were crediting Rick Tocchet with the rumors.
I wish.
And I was like, that's amazing.
Imagine if Rick Tocchet was like, I'm an insider now, guys. Here's what I'm hearing.
Rick Tocchet shows up. Talks could still go either way. At this time of year, remember,
you know, one phone call could change everything, guys.
The information I'm passing along could be absolutely wrong, but it's trending in this specific direction, and here's the specific amount that this player might sign for.
That'd be good. I could see Rick Tocchet doing very well at that.
Oh, he would kill. Are you kidding me? Who's not returning Rick Tocchet's phone calls?
Absolutely. All right, before we get into any of that, let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
Oh, I thought you were going to jump in there.
Sorry, I was going to, but I wanted you to say something first.
It's your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, January 23rd.
One day we should do an entire segment in insider speak.
Like the Austin and Langley screenshot of the... You know, it's trending in this direction, but yeah.
100%. We should do a whole segment one day, and we won't, like, announce it, so... To our listeners, next couple months, we're going to do an entire segment in Insider Speak. And when it happens, prizes to you if you figure
it
out.
Did you see the CBS soccer show that did the whole segment on Champions League team Brest?
No. Oh, my God.
And it was all double entendres. Because I guess it's Micah Richards is one of the panelists. And he's like incapable. Whenever the team Brest comes up, he's like incapable of taking it, of keeping it together. So they sit him down on camera. They're like, okay, hey, Micah, you can't take part in this. We've determined you're just not capable of it. So you have to sit this one out. And then they proceed. The rest of the panelists proceed to just make like double entendre after double entendre.
And
while he's
the camera
there
on
dying.
Him.
Yeah. Pretty good. Anyways. All right. Your headlines today. Mandatory headline number one, JT Miller, still a member of the Vancouver Canucks, will play tonight, we certainly expect, against the Edmonton Oilers. And that's the other headline. The Canucks play the Oilers tonight in Edmonton in what, for some reason, is kind of being billed as like an explosive revenge match. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of national outlets out there like, oh, how are the Oilers going to... get revenge on Connor Garland. Oh, this one's going to have sparks tonight. Make sure you watch this one. This has got fireworks. And maybe that happens, but like, who's taking revenge on who? You know what I mean? The guys that cross-checked people in the face, they're not in the lineup. I don't even get what is supposed to be at stake here. Like, who is mad at who and who is going to be doing the revenge and all of that? It's not entirely clear to me. So I guess it's, you know, two... Pacific Division Canadian teams, playoff rematch from last year. They just played less than a week ago, so there's always a certain amount of stakes. But beyond that, you know, even the notion of the league talking to the teams like they do sometimes before these types of games, like, what are they saying to the teams? You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like there's an... I don't really understand what would lead to the violent extracurriculars in this game. Like, is Connor Garland going to be have to watch his back because he held Connor McDavid?
Maybe he gets held. Maybe
get revenge.
Maybe Brett Kulak at some point like sits on Connor Garland,
just giving wraps up on a big bear hug.
Yeah,
he's like, there. Now you know what it feels like.
Yeah, the code. The code has stood again.
An eye for an eye.
No, I look the man. Speaking of plot lines I have no interest in, this one is up at the top of the list. I can't believe it. I honestly, I'm so shook by it.
It's like the thinnest excuse ever to hype a game up. Because we all know the type of game I'm talking 100%. About. Revenge game, whatever you want to talk about. Rematch where there was something nasty that happened in the last meeting. New one coming up and the league's like, oh, you guys better be on your best behavior. And everyone's hyped to see what the teams do. It's never felt more forced than in this situation.
100%.
I'm just like, who? But Connor Garland got cross-checked in the face. Is he supposed to be mad? Are the Canucks supposed to be like going after somebody on his behalf? Or I don't even understand the dynamics at play here.
It's the hold heard around the world.
The hold heard around the world
will be litigated on the ice tonight.
We'll see who can do the most holding tonight.
I mean, you know what? I need to like get my head on straight because I'm just like, I need to be held. And we should all be so lucky as Connor McDavid.
I think some Canucks players need to be held as well.
They might get their chance in Edmonton tonight.
Yeah. It's vengeance holding night.
Instead of a line brawl off the opening faceoff, just everyone pairs off and hugs each other.
It's like no need to watch UFC this weekend. We've got the professional snuggling we need on the ice in Edmonton. I mean, I was on Edmonton radio last night and made sure to get in I'm sad that I'm not in Edmonton covering the game. I really wanted to attend last night's candlelight vigil. Yes.
Well, you know, there'll be the big moment of silence off the top for Connor McDavid as well, I'm sure.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, this is one of the weirdest ones we've ever seen. I love Rick Tocchet's dismissiveness about it. It was holding. Like, it was so good. Anyway, yeah, I don't think there's going to be anything. I think it's going to be just a game of hockey.
This text comes in. It's like if you I annoyed my brother till he snapped and hit me in the head, but now he's out for revenge. You know what I mean? It's like, no. Like, you did the violent thing. Now 100%. I should want the revenge. Anyways, it's a bizarre one tonight. And
I will say now, if an Edmonton defender, if Darnell Nurse just like holds Connor Garland for 6 seconds on the opening shift, and then it's like, hi, we got you back. You know, you gotta pay the price for what you did.
That would be so good.
I think it would be great. I think that would be one of the moments of the season.
That would be absolutely amazing.
God, I hope it happens now.
That would be a bright spot in this season.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And as you mentioned off the top,
some much needed levity to this situation, which has been taken far too seriously by all involved.
As you mentioned off the top. Although, yeah, I was going to say, except Connor Garland and Rick Tocchet, who are just kind of like, oh.
Yeah, no, I mean, all involved on the Edmonton side.
In Edmonton.
Yeah.
And as you said off the top here, you know, it also, as we look at this game, and we heard from Rick Tocchet yesterday after practice, he was so disappointed. Understandably, with their performance against the Buffalo Sabres.
No, he wasn't even mad.
I think he was also mad. You know what I mean? I think he was disappointed, but also upset. Also mad.
I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed.
No, I know. I get the reference you're making, but I just think this was like... mad and disappointed.
But there's no world in which... Like, there's no level of mad worse than I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed.
I think unless it's like, I'm mad and disappointed.
No.
That's worse.
No, because that's not worse. That's like, why are you mad? People don't respond to being, yeah, no, I disagree.
All right.
You are madder when you pretend not,
when you
to,
pretend
be mad
not to be
and
mad.
To be just disappointed.
Yeah, because if you're mad, then at least the other person can be like, well, at least I made him mad. That's a win for
100%.
Me.
100%. Like, yeah, I don't even care enough to be mad. I'm just so disappointed.
So disappointed.
That's a way deeper state of anger.
But as you were alluding to, like, it feels very difficult and ridiculous and bizarre to try to talk about this game in terms of, can the Canucks turn their season around with a big win against Edmonton? We just saw them win a game against Edmonton, and then they followed it up with a completely listless, lifeless performance that their own coach is saying is one of the most disappointing in his time in Vancouver. So we have a very, very recent track record of an emotional, hard-fought win against the Edmonton Oilers not jump-starting their season. So, hey, if they win, okay, they need 2 points in the playoff race. That's big. We're talking. We're excited for this one.
We don't know that it didn't jump-start their season.
Well, not in the next game it didn't. Well,
what if they win 8 games in a row here, and then we're looking back and they say, are we saying they've won 8 in a row, or are we saying they've won nine of their last ten since that crucial game against the Oilers changed their whole season around? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Don't get ahead of yourself. It's time to be careful, you know? We don't want to...
We'll see. Let's say results pending on that one. Hasn't turned the season around yet.
Yeah.
But of course, it does feel bizarre because the team, as I mentioned off the top of the headlines, you know, JT Miller is still a Vancouver Canuck. So the team is still in purgatory, is still in waiting for Luong Godeau mode here. They are.
Yeah, they are.
As they wait for the other shoe to drop.
I just love JT Miller is still a Canuck, so they're still in purgatory. It's like, what did he do? What are you, a member of the Edmonton media? That seems a little dramatic.
It's accurate. So that brings us to today's edition of the broadsheet and a fresh round of reports and rumors out there to dig into. We'll start with Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, his written 32 thoughts from last night, saying that the Hurricanes and the Rangers are two of the teams with permission to talk to JT Miller. And that's an interesting one. I mean, I understand in this situation, there's an element of due diligence that teams would want to do and just talk like, hey, what's going on? What's been going on in Vancouver? Get a sense of where the player is at. At the same time, usually you get permission to talk because you want to sign the player to an extension before you trade for them. And JT Miller's already signed to a long-term deal here. So that is always, it's a bit strange to me. Now, Friedman also says he's getting mixed messages on the Devils being in, doesn't buy that Dallas is really involved. Another note, and this is maybe something we can get into a little bit later, maybe in the next segment. But Friedman suggests that teams are maybe waiting for some clarity on next year's salary cap before they start making deals, which the NHL is hoping to have before the trade deadline. And they might kind of publish like 3 years out.
Which would be a huge deal. I mean,
yes.
When I was working, one of the years that I was working for the Panthers and we had a bunch of free agent signings on the go, like we got to the draft in Vancouver. So I guess that is a hint on what year it was, 2019. I had forgotten the year, but now I'm remembering having the conversations in Vancouver. And we were in Vancouver and like had no idea what the final cap number was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Meanwhile, it's like, you know, I think we ended up bringing in 4 guys totaling like $120 million worth of comp, right? It's like, and 60 days before that, we don't know the exact number that the cap's going to be set at. Like, how does that make sense for a league or for businesses of this value to operate like that, right? So having multiple years locked in, from a cap planning perspective, I'm telling you, I've had a lot of conversations with hockey ops people over the years about this. A game changer in terms of what teams can do and how they'll operate if they get that level of sort of locked in certainty.
Especially because the number for next year per Friedman and Alan Walsh, I believe, weighing in on this as well, could be $97 million. And so you get that locked in, and then you get, and that's a $9 million increase from where it is this year. That's a really big deal, especially if you have locked in increases for the next couple of years after that. And as you always say, right, take that stuff with a grain of salt. But if they lock it in and they're announcing it, as you say, like, man, that certainty and that level of increase is a big deal.
Can you lock it in before February 1st? I mean,
yeah.
You know, like, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. Like, I'm just saying, until we have a good sense of what's going to happen tariff-wise between the two countries in which the NHL operates, and it's a little bit hard to project, like, with confidence, a multi-year, you know, cap growth sort of revenue model. So I'd imagine we're waiting at least a week plus before it. And even then, you know, I think it's not as if there's further deferrals, it's not as if we're going to have certainty at any point here. So
yes, but that's fun.
Yeah, you
love this.
Hey, nothing worse than having to cover real world stuff because it impacts the hockey business, right? Just like, do you remember when we had to talk about the pandemic?
Oh, that was awful.
The worst.
Horrible. Anyways, on the JT Miller front, Rick Dhaliwal on Donnie and Dolly saying offers for Miller haven't been great. Some have been low balls. They're not getting the full value is a quote from Rick Dhaliwal. And Patrick Johnson from Post Media with a good piece up today suggesting that the Rangers are the only team truly interested in JT Miller. Flat out says Hurricanes, Devils, Stars, yeah, they might have kicked tires, but they're not realistic options per PJ. Also suggests
I think Pat PJ's got the like big picture right, but I don't think it's Rangers or bust. I think the Rangers are clearly in the driver's seat for a variety of reasons, as they've been maybe arguably throughout this entire process dating back years. But I would sort of quibble based on what I'm hearing with Hurricanes, or sorry, with Rangers or bust.
All right. Just passing it along from PJ, but also he throws in the detail that maybe the Rangers would want, as he terms it, a sweetener of some sort, either in the form of salary retention or the Canucks maybe throwing in a prospect as well. And I guess that depends on what the return is coming back from the Ranger to make the deal work. And understandably, the reaction I've seen from Canucks fans online to that, a lot of fans balking at the idea of either retaining or needing to throw in a sweetener. And I get that. You know, JT Miller's been a huge part of the team. He's been obviously extraordinarily productive. Not easy to stomach the idea of having to really bend or, you know, throw things in even to move a player like that. But I combine it with what Rick Dhaliwal is reporting, that the offers haven't really been great. You know, some teams have been lowballing them pretty heavily on JT Miller. With PJ, and even if it's not as extreme as he says in terms of Rangers or bust, but still maybe the interest around the league not as robust as you might think. Like, at a certain point here, the Canucks are going to have to be honest with themselves about the situation, and I think how much or little leverage they have. And they're going to have to ask the question, how long can they keep their team stuck in purgatory, hoping for a deal that may never materialize? Because I get it. Okay, hey, let's wait till the trade deadline. Maybe there'll be certainty on this salary cap increase. Teams will have accrued a little more. You know, maybe a hole opens up on a contender and they want to fill it. Could something like that happen? Yeah, sure. But it's a risk, because if it doesn't happen, now you've just kept your team in purgatory for an extra 6 weeks, and that's not productive.
I think we quite spontaneously had the right conversation when we were at the rink on Monday, right? Where we were noting that this didn't feel like a very Hurricanes-y move. And then we noted that actually, hey, they signed William Carrier, a bottom six forward, to a 6-year deal, and they traded for Brent Burns. Mm-hmm. And you'd be shocked how malleable the Hurricanes are once the price gets to a point that they like or see as positive EV, right? And you know, I do think there's an extent to which the Hurricanes being in the bidding is something of a canary in the coal mine that should tell you, like, price is low. But I don't know that that means you have to rush it. And more than anything, like, we got a text in. At what point does management deserve more criticism for where we find ourselves? Texts in one listener. Something I've been wrestling with a little bit, because as our listeners know, I thought the big picture direction that the club decided to chart, especially 18 months ago, but really dating from the Miller contract through the sort of talk it higher and how they handled that deadline, right? Because that gives you that full season where you fire Boudreaux, you sort of really try to win late in the year.
Yep.
Obviously, the Miller extension's in there, the Hronek trade's in there, the Horvat trade I didn't have a huge problem with, the Kuzmenko extension is in there, right? And it was just like this handful of moves where the club charted a shorter-term route to being good as opposed to, you know, sort of a more circuitous route that maybe costs you last season but has you in a better long-term position. And that sequence of moves I strongly disagreed with, because I didn't like the organization's vision for how they could get good. And frankly, I didn't buy it. I didn't buy that they'd be able to pull it off. However, their execution of what I've always described as their narrow path, I think has been through the roof. Like, the discipline that they've shown to reset the books, right? The way that they approached free agency that summer, where, you know, it was all 1-year deals. It was all bargain bin shopping. Yep. You get Suter, you get Susie, like really good value netted. Obviously, they nailed the coaching hire in Tocchet, certainly last year. I know fans are beginning to sour on him because things have been so bad this year. But, you know, fundamentally, I don't blame the coach for that. And then, you know, I even think this summer, I didn't love what they did on defense, was worried about it and talked about it a lot. But, you know, they avoided the big grenades in free agency, in my mind. You know, they avoided the big grenade with, like, Elias Lindholm.
Yeah.
right? Which I think would be a contract that would really be holding you back versus like Jake DeBrusk, who's, you know, paid like a complimentary top six guy and performing like it. Sherwood, Lankinen, and on and on. And then obviously they've been dealt a tough hand. So I think there's enough to really like, even for me, who thought the organization erred in charting a sort of short-term route to contention, which I didn't believe that they'd be able to pull off. They got way closer than I thought, and they got way closer than I thought because their evaluative efficiency and their discipline managing the cap has been high-end. Well, for me anyway, and fans know, it's not like our listeners know that it's not like I'm shy about sharpening my scalpel if I think it, if I deem it fit. But if you're really good at those two things, cap discipline and bargain hunting and free agency, you're going to earn a lot of grace from me. I think this organization has. Here's the last thing. This is why you pay Jim Rutherford, right? Like, this is it. You're facing down Drury and the New York media. You're facing down a variety of interested parties. You've got a player who may, you know,
he has a no move clause.
He has a no move clause. So it's a three dimensional deal. He hasn't requested a trade, according to what his Dhaliwal and I were able to report from his camp. However, Paul Bissonnette, who's been way ahead of this file, has had some of the best information in the industry, says that he did. So,
and also just had a random impromptu conversation with the Canucks owner.
Well, that's just something to send a chill down all our spines, Jamie. The truth is that we have to like at least throw a little bit of skepticism, even though it was me and Dhaliwal who were reporting it, on sort of where exactly JT Miller's involvement is. And you've got the pressure of, man, this team looks lifeless. The pressure's on. The calls in the market to make the trade quickly are increasing. You can't waste this season, right? Like, all of those pressures. This is what you want a Hall of Fame executive for. To stare everyone down and make the right call, right? Just to pull out a random example from Canucks history, when Mike Keenan pulled the goalie with 10 minutes to go, right? Brian Burke and Dave Nonis in the press box on Hockey Night in Canada at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yeah.
Right? And the cameras pan to them, and the story goes that Burke tells Nonis, he goes, make no reaction. They'll be looking to read into our reaction. And they just, like, sit there totally fine as the Canucks lose. And then Keenan says, what do you want me to do? My team can't score. My best goal scorer is holding out. They waited, and they made a deal that they lost, but they gave them Jovo, which gave them a surplus of defenders, which allowed them to trade for the Sedins, and on and on. So, you know, the long arc of this is not going to be measured in our frustration game to game or week to week. Right now, this is like why you have Rutherford there, which is deal with a wholly complex three-dimensional trade with a ton of pressure on all sides and an underperforming, dissatisfied team, and come out with something that actually puts the club in, you know, big picture, a better position, even if you're going to lose the deal the day you make it. Something, by the way, the club is well aware of. You know, as much as I do think there are grounds to criticize management, how many guys in the league would you rather have than Rutherford in the chair right now handling something as complex as this?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's sort of where I come down on it. And it's like, I would be blasting for sure if I thought the answer was, you can't let this guy make this decision for your organization. I think this is exactly the guy you want making this decision for the organization. So that tempers my criticism.
Taking it to the trade deadline is one thing. Taking it beyond that would start to make me very nervous. And I think part of that is the history of, oh, we're exploring trading JT Miller. We're talking to the Rangers. It doesn't get done. And then part of that is, well, we'll trade Bo Horvat instead. And I just think until they're out of this cycle, it's going to be very hard to productively build up this team and to take those next steps as a team to be a true Stanley Cup contender. And so I've been upfront about this. The return is much less important to me than the clarity and the opportunity to move forward. Again, don't give them away for pennies on the dollar. I get that. But okay, trade deadline, that's fine. Beyond that, man, if you're carrying this onto the summer, that is a very, very difficult position for you and the team and the whole organization to be in. All right, we'll wrap up the rest of the whiteboard here pretty quickly. Lineup notes, Canucks recalled both defenseman Elias Pettersson and Linus Karlsson from Abbotsford. Noah Juulsen placed on IR retroactive to January 14th. Demko will start tonight. Karlsson may get in, so we'll see if a forward comes out, but it will be the same defense. So I know Dhaliwal suggested that maybe Pettersson would make his NHL debut for the Canucks, or at least it was a chance, but Rick Tocchet says he will roll with the same blue line tonight in Edmonton. Pickard starts for the Oilers in net. Playoff standings update, no change here. Canucks playoff chances still at a very nice 69% in Dom's model. There were no relevant games on the schedule last night. And you have a betting update for us.
I do.
Drancer.
I do. The Canucks are underdogs. Actually, they're underdogs by the exact same amount that they were on Saturday. So it's like the loss of McDavid is nullified effectively by home ice.
Yeah.
Which is telling in and of itself. The Vancouver Canucks plus 165. Even with Calvin Pickard in net, the over-under set at 5.5. By the way, just to note this, one thing that's interesting to me about tonight is the Calgary Flames host the Buffalo Sabres. They're favored, minus 140. The Utah Hockey Club visits the Minnesota Wild. They're underdogs, plus 135. And there's one more, right? Oh, yeah. St. Louis hosts the Vegas Golden Knights. They're underdogs, plus 120. This is a big night.
Big scoreboard watching night
in that wild card race. And look, if there's one thing I'm gonna try and enjoy this season, it's like, hey, you never know where you're gonna end up. But right now, the Canucks are in the thick of a wild card race, like an actual interesting wild card race where most of the teams have an actual shot at getting it done. That's fun. It's fun and enjoy it.
No, it's not fun right now.
You don't get one every season.
It can be fun if they trade JT Miller.
Oh,
can't be fun if they're in purgatory, though.
It's fun if you hold a lot of Utah Hockey Club stock.
Okay.
I think that's really where I'm coming at it from.
That's fair, but I get it. The idea of, hey, even if you're disappointed with where they are in the standings, you know, our playoff race, that's fun.
To be clear, I wasn't really talking for Canucks fans. I was talking for myself.
Oh, okay.
I'm just reminding myself to enjoy it.
I'm happy for you, Ben.
But yeah, you're right. This is mostly like a Logan Cooley take. So I should be aware of that.
All right. Bad. That is the inbox. We will take a break. Or sorry, that's the inbox. That's the whiteboard. We'll dive into the inbox in the next segment. That's what I wanted to say. We'll take a break here. More Canucks talk on the other side on Sportsnet 650.